Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Samach Gimel. We are holding on the bottom of Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis. We are four lines from the bottom of the page. We're about to learn the story of Rabbi Akiva. We've been going through all these stories of Talmidei Chachamim who went to learn in Yeshiva for 12 years and left their wives and left their families and came back and discovered that their children were all grown up and all sorts of different things like that. So that leads us directly into the story of Rabbi Akiva. We're then, once we get through the story of Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah in the middle of Amid Aleph is going to talk about a case of a Moredes, a woman who is rebellious against her husband, or a Mored, a man who rebels against his wife, and what the financial penalties of that are. We're going to define whether a Moredes means a woman who refuses to have Tashma Shamita, or whether it's someone who refuses Malacha, refuses to do the work that she's supposed to do. Then the Gemara is going to discuss what the procedure is when a woman is Moredes in terms of informing her of the loss of the money and the value to her Ksuba. And the Gemara is going to talk about what if she's not just Moredes, she just says Maos Alai, that I'm not interested in this marriage. I find this man disgusting. It's not that I'm interested and I'm just refusing to do X, Y, or Z. I'm just not interested at all. And we're going to also talk about if Moredes loses her Nadunya. She brought in certain clothing as part of her Nadunya, does she lose that when she's Moredes as well? And we're going to have a story where the Chachamim debated that very issue. But let's begin with the story of Rabbi Akiva. Four lines from the bottom. Rabbi Akiva, Raya de Ben Kalba Savua Hava. Rabbi Akiva was the shepherd of Ben Kalba Savua. So who's Kalba Savua? The Gemara Maseches Gittin tells us he was one of the Ashirei Yerushalayim, that anyone who would come into his house, Ra'av Kekelev, anyone who would come into his house starving like a dog, wouldn't leave until he was Savua, wouldn't leave until he was satiated. Now, according to our Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva was not the shepherd of Kalba Savua, but the shepherd of Kalba Savua's son. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva did not marry Kalba Savua's daughter, but rather Kalba Savua's granddaughter. There are other versions of the story in Maseches Nedarim and Tanbei Eliyahu that don't exactly sound that way. It sounds like he married the daughter of Kalba Savua. But Chazisei Barte, Davatzania Umale, his daughter, Rabbi Akiva's boss's daughter, noticed about Rabbi Akiva that he was very tzanua and that he had very refined character. So she saw some potential in him. Amrulay, she said to him, Imekadashnalach Azalta the Beirav, if I agree to marry you, would you go to the Beirav? Would you go to the Beis Medrash to go learn? Amrulah in. He said, yes, I would do that. It's worth it for me to marry you. I would go learn in yeshiva. So they had a private wedding ceremony. Sounds from here that it was only Kiddushin and not Nisuin, but again, other versions of the story sound a little bit different, that it was Nisuin as well. Vishadarte, and she sent him on his way to go learn in yeshiva. Shamu avua afka mibeisei. Her father found out about this, that she married the lowly shepherd who's not a Talmud Chacham at all, who doesn't know anything in learning, and he threw her out of the house. He took a neder that his daughter should never get any hana from his nechasim because his daughter had done this terrible thing by marrying this fellow, this shepherd who's a pure Amma Aretz. Azul Yosef Trace Reishinin B'Bei Rav. So he went and he sat for 12 years in the Bei Rav. He sat for 12 years in yeshiva. That number, 12 years, seems to keep on coming up. There must be some significance in learning for 12 years. So the Acharon debate what that significance might be. The Marsha suggests that that's the amount of years between the Ben Shmona Esrei L'Chupa and Ben Shloshim L'Koach, where it's a person's best years, where he's most capable of growth and learning. The Iyun Yaakov says, based on the Shittas Rabbi Yossi in the Chulin Daf Chav Dalid, that a Talmud who learns for 3 years and doesn't see a Simin Yafa B'Talmudo, Shuv Eino Roa. Rabbi Yossi holds Machlokas, whether it's 3 years or 5 years. But Rabbi Yossi holds that someone who learns for 3 years, focuses on something for 3 years, and doesn't see a Simin Yafa in his learning, he's never going to see a Simin Yafa. Now the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed says that a person is chayev to learn with his son Mikra, Mishnah, Halacha, and Agada. So if one is really going to give a proper try in all four of those areas of Limud, he needs to spend 3 years on each of them. Mikra, Mishnah, Lach, and Agada. And that's maybe the 12-year program was 3 years spent on each of them. Ben Yoyada suggests that the 12 years is based on the fact that there is Shisha Sidre Mishnah, and you have to learn it first, Bekiyus, you have to go through the whole thing, you have 1 year for each Seder of Mishnais, and then you learn with Svara and Iyun the second time around. So you need to go through it twice in order to get one's feet wet in learning to be strong in learning to go through Shisha Siddur Mishnah twice. It's interesting that he assumes that all of the Shisha Siddurim require the same amount of time. One could have argued that some of them are more challenging than others and may require more time than others, but that's how they suggest the 12 years. That's how they suggest is the significance of the 12 years, because it can't be a coincidence that it keeps on coming up that all of them were coming back for 12 years. Tosus also points out over here another interesting point, that the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Tesem Beis, where it talks about how with the terrible nature of an Ama Aretz, and how Ame Aretz cannot be trusted, and you shouldn't travel alone with Ame Aretz, and you should never marry your daughter off to an Ame Aretz, and you shouldn't marry a Bas Ame Aretz, and all these terrible things about Ame Aretz. One of the things it says in that sugya is that Rabbi Akiva commented that when he was an Ame Aretz, he would say, "Mi yitin li tamul chacham v'anashchenu kechamor," that if someone would give me a tamul chacham, I'd bite him like a donkey. Doesn't sound like a tzaniya umali. Doesn't sound like he's such a person of refined character that he would bite a Talmud Chacham. What kind of behemoth does? A chamar does that. That's what he's saying. I would bite him like a donkey. Well, how does that, tzniu mali, how does that shtim? So Tosa says, Ika lemeimer tahasam lav mishum shayason li Talmud Chachamim, ala mishum shayasavr shem is goyin ala mei aretz mipnei tarasan, ve Talmud Chacham sonim osam. That Rabbi Akiva's comment was not saying that he hated Talmud Chachamim, but that he was very self-conscious. That when he was in Amaretz, he assumed that Talmud Chachamim hated him. So he was saying he felt so resentful that they hated him for no reason. And furthermore, it was exacerbated by the problem that when they observed the laws of Tum and Tara, the Big Day Amaretz are Medrus Leprushim. So the Talmud Chacham wouldn't even touch an Amaretz. He wouldn't shake his hand. He felt so removed. He felt like the Talmud Chacham. He was just very self-conscious. That's very often the case. People think that people who aren't as religious are, dislike religious people. A lot of times they don't dislike, they just feel very self-conscious. They feel like that the religious person doesn't like them. So a person has to be understanding of that. That was Rabbi Akiva's attitude, that he was just very self-conscious about the whole thing. So ki asa aisi bade treisrei alfi talmidei. When Rabbi Akiva came back after 12 years, he came back with 12,000 talmidim. And there's our Daf Yomi coincidence of the day where we discussed the 24,000 talmidim. Here, 12,000, we're about to discuss the other 12,000 that Rabbi Akiva came back with, because it was these days, Ben Pesach La'atzeres, that the Gemara says in Yevamos, that Ben Pesach La'atzeres, that all the 24,000 talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. Not as good a Daf Yomi coincidence as Karpas on the first day of Pesach, but still a pretty good one. So 12,000 talmidim he came back with. Shamei Lahu Saba de Kamerla, and as he was about to go back into his house, he overheard Hahu Saba talking to his wife and said to her, Ad kama kamedabar salmanus chayim, how long are you going to act like an almana while your husband is still alive? It's ridiculous. You're here all alone for 12 years. What kind of husband is this? Amrlein, she said to Hahu Saba, Ilididit Sayas, Yosef Tresri Shnei Achrini. If he would listen to me, he'd go back for another 12 years. I'd be perfectly happy to send him back for another 12 years of learning. It's my greatest pleasure and privilege to have him go learn. Amar Bar Shuska Avinu, Rabbi Akiva overheard that, and before he even walked in the door, he said, wow, she's really allowing that? He went and sat for another 12 years in the Beis Medrash without even going in so much as to say hello. He just turned around and went back for another 12 years. That's what Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz points out in the Shmuz, that when a person learns for 24 years straight, it's different than 12 years plus 12 years. And if that's true in the number of years, it's also true in shorter amounts of time. If a person learns for 3 hours straight, that's different than 1 hour and 1 hour and 1 hour. That a person gets a consistency in the learning, and if one doesn't break it up, it's a much stronger type of learning. It is Ben Azmanim Shmuz. Now we're doing Ben Azmanim in all the yeshivas. Another Daf Yomi coincidence. So Ben Azmanim Shmuz, that a lot of times the yeshiva bachrim during Ben Azmanim, they just stop learning. And that breaks up the learning in a terrible way. A person should be consistent in his learning each and every day. So Rabbi Akiva didn't even want to come in and say hello. So he came back after another 12 years, and this time he came back with 24,000 Talmidim. Now, who was this Hahu Saba that was having this conversation? In Maseches Nedarim, where the story is brought in Daf Nun Aleph, the Gemara says it was Chad Rasha. It doesn't say Hahu Saba, it says a certain guy who is a Russian. Now, Tosfos in Chulin, Daf Vav Amud Aleph, says that every time the Gemara uses the term Hahu Saba, it always is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. So if that's the case, it would turn out that it's a Machlokas HaSugis, that according to our Gemara, Eliyahu HaNavi was having this conversation with Rabbi Akiva's wife, and sort of setting her up to send Rabbi Akiva back, and according to the Gemara Nedarim, it was some Adam Rasha, it was the furthest thing from Eliyahu HaNavi. But it should be noted that Tosfos points out that there are certain places where the term Saba cannot be referring to Eliyahu HaNavi. So it could be over here is one of those cases where it's got to be somebody else other than Eliyahu HaNavi. The Ben Yoyada, however, says that you could say that it's not a stira at all. Based on the Shinui Lashon between our Gemara and the Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara over here says that he said to her, Ad kamakam edabaris almanus chayim, and the Gemara Nedarim said that he said to her, Shapir avudach avui, chadu delo dami laich, va'od shafkei chamalus chayus kulin shenin. That according to the version in Nedarim, he said to her that your father did right by being madir ana. Look what this guy did to you. He was bad mouthing him. So Ben Yoyada says the Lashon Arasugya could be what Eliyahu HaNavi said to her, and she responded, like it says in our sugya, that I'd be happy to send him back for another 12 years. But it could be that in that same conversation there was also an Adam Rasha, and when that Adam Rasha heard what she had said, he said, Shabir Avodah Chavui, etc. He said that your father did good by being Madir Anda. What a ridiculous thing to say that you would send him back away for another 12 years. So it could be that there were three people involved in the conversation. Of course, that would mean that the Adam Rasha had a Gilei Eliyahu, meaning that the Adam Rasha overheard Eliyahu's part of the conversation as well, unless he thought she was talking to herself. So that would be somewhat challenging as well. But that's what the Ben Yoyada suggests. So Shama Debitu, his wife heard that he came back with that Rabbi Kiva was coming back with 24,000 Talmidim. Havas Kanaf Kalape, she went to go greet him. Amrullah Shivasa, one of her neighbors, said to her, Shi'ili Mani Levushi Vichsai, why don't you borrow some clothing? You don't have anything nice to wear because Nabuchadnezzar, you don't have a husband to support you the last 24 years. Why don't you borrow something nice to go greet him? Amrullah, she said, Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Pramto, I don't need to get dressed up for him. He knows what I was mostly nefesh for him. And therefore, and our relationship is a different kind of relationship. He doesn't need me to look physically beautiful for him when he comes back. Kimati Legabei, Nafal Al Apa, when she got to the front of the line, to in front of him, she fell on her face and she started kissing his feet. So the shamish started pushing her away. Who's this crazy woman that's kissing the feet of the great gadol of Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva said, Shafgua, leave her alone. Sheli v'shalachem shelahu. All the Torah that I have achieved and all the Torah that all of you have achieved is all a result of her. So don't disrespect her. She deserves all the respect in the world. Now there is a discussion. Ben Yoyada writes, from this Gemara it's Muchach, that Rabbi Akiva's wife must have gone to the mikvah while he was gone, because she was kissing him on his feet, and it was a surprise when he had come back. She wasn't expecting him to return, so how was she allowed to touch him? So it must be that while he was gone, she was still soferes and tovelis. She would still count the shivanakim, or count the yimei nida, and still go to the mikvah. And he says that it could be that was because they were ochlim betara, that there were still laws of tum and tara, and prushim were noeg to be ochel even chulin betara. So they had that extra chumra that they would eat everything betara. So maybe that's why she would go to the mikvah. But it doesn't necessarily mean that a woman whose husband is out of town necessarily has to go to the mikvah. That's a discussion in the Achronim. Does a woman whose husband is out of town, to what extent do we say tevila bizmana mitzvah, that when the tevila comes up in the right zman, that it's a mitzvah to go in the right time, even absent a mitzvah's ona with the husband, even absent the husband's presence. We generally assume not that way. We generally assume as long as she goes, sometime before her husband comes back, if the husband's out of town, she doesn't dafka have to go that night. But this is one of the rayas, that apparently she went to the mikvah. So that's a question, whether it's a raya, whether she went because of Tvila Bizmana, or she went because they were knowing Betara, they were knowing even to eat Chulin Betara. So the story continues, Shama Avua da Asa Gavra Rabba Lamasa. Her father heard that a great man, a great Talmud Chacham had come to town. Her father had no idea who this great Talmud Chacham was, just that a great Talmud Chacham had come to town. So Amar Ezel Gabe Efshad Demefer Nedrai. Now her father was already feeling bad about the neder that he took, that his daughter is not allowed to get any hana'a from his nechasim. So he said, maybe a great Talmud Chacham will find the ability to be made from my neder. Asa Legabe, so he went to greet this great Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Akiva said to his father-in-law, the father-in-law didn't realize he was his father-in-law, but he said to him, did you take this neder al das that the fellow would become a gavar rabba? Did you realize he'd become a gavar rabba? Said, if I would have thought he knew anything, I wouldn't have taken this neder. Even if he knew one perek, one, I saw that he was a tznua mali. I liked his qualities. There was nothing I had against him. It's just he's a total amaret. If he would, if I would have thought he would have known anything, I wouldn't have taken the neder. Amrlei anahu. Rabbi Akiva says, well, I'm him. It's me. I am the son-in-law. So nafal alape. The father-in-law fell on his face and kissed him on his feet. And he gave him half of his money. So that's the end of the story. So that they lived happily ever after. He gave him half of his money. So the Achronim have a couple of kashas over here. First of all, Yavle Palgam money. We just had a Gemara in Daf Nun Amud Aleph. Hamavazvez. You're not allowed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. So it sounds like you're not allowed to give more than 20% of your money to Talmud Chacham, who's an ani, who could use the money. And not only that, it was Rabbi Akiva, who was not hiniyeh chavero, who wouldn't allow anyone else to be mevazvez yosur mechamish nechasav. So the afla asked the kasha, how did Rabbi Akiva allow his father-in-law to give him chatzi mamono, to give him half of his money? Now one could have suggested that maybe when you're keeping the money in the family, that's different than stam giving away your money to an ani, but the afla says different. He says it doesn't say he gave him chatzi nechasav, that he gave him half of his possessions. It says chatzi mamono. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia that when a person wants to invest properly, if he wants to figure out how to invest his money properly and diversify his portfolio, la'olam yashlish adam es ma'osav. Person should divide his portfolio into three parts. Shlish bekarka, one-third real estate. Shlish beprakmatia, one-third investments in business. Ushlish tachas yadam, and one-third he should have liquid. He should have money available to him, one-third of his money. So it turns out that when he gave him chatzi mamono, he was actually giving him one-sixth of his nechasim, which is less than chomesh, and therefore he was well within his rights. When you do the math, it turns out that he was well within his rights to give him that amount of money. It's also interesting, the Rivash discusses, Rivash has a tshuva in Siman Tav Vav about a guy who's madir chavero minichasav, if the mudar is allowed to be matir the madir, the neder, if he's a chacham. If the mudar is a chacham, can he be matir the neder for the other guy? Or do we say no, since he's nogeya b'neder, he's not able to be matir. So he proves from the Yerushalmi that a nogeya is not allowed to be matir neder, and he says it's not like a chacham shura trefa la'atzmo, where a chacham is allowed to paskin on an animal, whether it's a trefa or not for himself, because over there it's because everyone is believed on Yisurin, but by Hatter Nedarim, a person can't be matir nidre atzmo, not because he's not neman, but because lo yachal es nidro. We darshan huayna mechal avel cherim mochlno, it's a special drash on the pasuk, that you can't be matir your own nedarim. So someone who's no gabadavar can't be matir his own neder, because that's like he's being matir nidrei atzmo. So that's why he can't be matir neder. That's what the Riva writes. So the Shaul over there asked the Rivash, what do you mean? Rabbi Akiva was matir the neder of his father-in-law, and he was certainly no gabadavar. The ability of his wife to be able to have hana'a from the father-in-law's nechasim, and apparently there were a lot of the nechasim. So the Rivash answers that it doesn't say that Rabbi Akiva was matir the neder. It just says Rabbi Akiva was poseach the Pesach. The Rabbi Akiva said, "Ani hu," and then it was obvious that someone was going to be able to be matir the neder. He found the Pesach. The Pesach was such a clear Pesach at that point that any Talmud Chacham could have been matir the neder. It was just Rabbi Akiva was the one that found the Pesach. The other interesting point about this Pesach, Tosfos raises over here, "Vim tomar v'lo'asul avtach b'nolad." What kind of Pesach is this? He's being poseach b'nolad. It didn't happen yet. Meaning, at the time that the guy took the neder, Rabbi Akiva takanu nothing. He didn't know afilu perek echad. He didn't know anything. So how can you be posech was something that didn't exist yet, that didn't happen yet. There was no pre-existing condition at the time of the neder that would have that would have changed the neder at all. So Tosfos gives two answers. One is a little more famous. The first answer is the more famous answer, where he says the hachalo chashiv nolad. It's not considered nolad kivan shalach shahalach lebei rav the deruchu baholich lilmod shenasa adam gadol. That he says Tosfos says that since at the time of the neder Rabbi Akiva had already committed to go to yeshiva, it was not it's not nolad for him to be an adam gadol. It's the derech of people who go and fully commit themselves in learning, no matter what their perceived potential is. Someone who goes and fully commits himself to learning, it's the derech that he becomes an adam gadol, and it's not even perspective. It's not even about future prospects. It's considered that it's already happening, that the process is underway, because the commitment is the beginning of that process. Then Tos says, or it could be that it's viewed as if he was tola his neder in the son-in-law being an amaretz. And if you're tola your neder on that, then even if it's nolad, you could be poseach b'davar. So that's the second possibility that Tosa says. So the Gemara just gives the piece to the story. Bartid Rabbi Kiva avdulei l'benazai hachi. The daughter of Rabbi Kiva made the same deal with her husband and allowed her husband Benazai to go learn in yeshiva for many years. V'hainu damrin she rechela basa rechela azla ko uvdei ima kach uvdei barta. That the daughter follows the mother's hanhagos, that the daughter very often does exactly like the mother did. Tosfos asks the kasha, wait a second, Benazai married Rabbi Akiva's daughter, how's that possible? The Gemara in Sota, Daf Dalet and Beis, says that Benazai never got married at all. The Gemara is Machlokas Tanaim, what the Shir's Man Bia is. And the Gemara says every Tana mentioned the Shir's Man Bia based on their own experiences. So the Gemara asks, how can Benazai give a Shir Ledavar? He never got married. The Gemara in Yevama says, Samach Gimel, that Benazai was not Osik Bepiria Verivya. So the Gemara gives three answers over there. One of the answers is that Shama Shir Zeme Rabbo, that he heard it from his Rebbe the Shir. Another answer is Soda Sham Li Reyav. And in Echinami, he had no personal experience, but it's Soda Sham Li Reyav. So according to those answers, he never got married. How could he say he married Rabbi Kiva's daughter? So Tulsa says, well, there's a third answer there. So that says that he did get married, and then ultimately he was Pirish Hemena. He then separated from his wife because he wanted to commit himself fully to Torah. So if that was the case, you could understand very well. That's Asi Shapir. That would work out well. And then Tos says V'yesh Lamedaf Gav the Kamaracha Davda Achil Benazai Mikol Makom Lo Nasa LeBerusin. It could be that it was only Erusin with Benazai and Rabbi Akiva's daughter. That could be a second possible answer. Tos suggests Rav Yosef Brei the Rava. Rav Yosef the son of Rava Shadre Avu. His father sent him to go learn in the yeshiva by Rav Yosef. And they established that he would learn for 6 years. 3 years into it, Erev Yom Kippur came. He said, you know what, I want to go visit my family. Let me go visit the Inchi Besi, my family. Shama Avui, his father, found out about it. Shakal Mana, and he took out weapons, the Nafak La'ape, to go greet him. He said, what, you remember your Zona, meaning you're only interested in having beer with your wife, that's why you're not willing to fulfill your commitment of 6 years, so you're coming back 3 years in. Ikadamri Amrla Yonascha Niskarta. Some say he said a different lashon, that your Yona, you remember your dove. Itud lo marivsik v'lo marivsik, and they had it out, and while they were having this argument, neither one got to have a sudam of sekes because they were arguing about whether he should go home or not. But that's how Rashi says shakal mana means clay zion kilu bali hilachim, that he took weapons as if he was coming to engage in battle with him. That's a little bit difficult. What was he bringing weapons for? So the Iyun Yaakov explains, based on the Medrash, Hasayif HaSefer Nitnu Mekurachim Min HaShemayim, that the sword and the sefer come down bound together Min HaShemayim. So it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying that if we're Mekayim the Torah, then we're saved from the Sayif. And if not, then we're going to suffer war and the casualties of war. So since he stopped learning, his father was showing him what the consequences of stopping learning are. So he brought a sayif, he brought a sword to show him exactly what it's going to be like. And he also says that the Ben Yoyada suggests that he was giving him a remez that Esav is misparechas with Al Charb Chatichya. Esav has the bracha of Al Charb Chatichya. So the bittul of the Cherev Shal Esav is only through Esek HaTorah. So he was saying, Shzman Shakol Kol Yaakov, Eina Yadayim De Esav. If you don't want Esav's sword to be powerful, you need to be very engaged in your learning, and you can't be coming back right in the middle. Okay, Vaiter's new Mishnah now. Hamaredis al Baila Poksalamik Subas. If a woman rebels against her husband, we diminish the value of her ksuba. Shiva dinar and b'shabas, 7 dinar for each week. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shiva Trapikin. Rabbi Yehuda says it's 7 trapikin that we diminish. And Masayu Poches, to what point do we keep on diminishing the value of the ksuba? Ad kineg ksubasa, until there's no more ksuba left. Rabbi Yosef Amar Lolomu Poches Valichachim Tipolo Yerushim Makam Achra Gove Emena. We go even beyond the ksuba. She could be in the negative, so that if she ever gets Yerusha from somewhere else, that will be docked from her as well and go to the husband. And if a man rebels against his wife, he has to add 3 dinar to the ksuba for each and every week. Rabbi Yudah Amar Shalosh Trapikin, Rabbi Yudah says 3 trapikin. Why those numbers, 7 and 3? 7 for the woman, 3. It sounds like the machlokas is only about the exact currency that we use, whether it's a dinar or a tropic, but the number is 7 and 3, that's kavua. So Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi that the sheva is keneged sheva malachos, that an isha is also the baila. We had mentioned in the Mishnah the responsibilities a woman has, so it's the 7 responsibilities that a woman has to do malacha for her husband. By the man, it's keneged she'er, ksos va'ona. So it's 3, 1 for each share ksos va'ona. Tosfos points out that is the Rishalmi shita, that is not the Bavli's shita, because the Gemara is going to ask ma bein mored the moredes, and it's going to give a different explanation of why mored and moredes have different values, different amounts that they have to pay. So if it should have given the answer to the Rishalmi, if it held the answer to the Rishalmi, it must be the Bavli does not accept the answer of the Rishalmi. But the Mishnah introduces us to this concept that when either party is moreed in the marriage, there's a financial penalty to it. So ask the Gemara, moredes mimai, what does moredes mean exactly? 2 opinions, Rav Huna Amar mitashmash amita. Rav Huna says it means that she refuses tashmash amita, or he refuses to have tashmash amita. Rav Yosef Rav Chanina Amar mimalacha, it means to be moreed mimalacha. Now Rav Huna says tashmash, Tosfos points out, but he would say that refusal to do malacha is not called moredes, because it is Rav Huna l'shitasa that we had, that yicholi isha shetomer l'bayla eni nizonas v'eni yosa, that a woman has every right to say, I'm not interested in doing malacha, and you don't have to support me, it's fine, but I'm not going to do malacha for you, it's all the tovasa, so she has, that's not called a moredes, she has every right to say such a thing. Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina must hold that a woman is not able to say, holds like Reish Lakish, that a woman is not authorized to forego the mizonos, and therefore not contribute the maisi adayim. So that's the nekudas amachlokas over here. It's l'shitasam over there. Tanan, so we have a Mishnah. V'chein amarir alishto. The Mishnah discusses, our Mishnah discusses, a man who's marir alishto. So, bishlam alaman yamar mitashmish lechi. If you understand that marir means from tashmish amit, I understand that the man could do that as well. Alaman yamar mimalacha mimashubadah. But if you can say that marir means from malacha, is the man mishubad malacha to the wife? Says Gemara in, ba'omer eni zan ve'eni mefarnes. Sure he's mishub malacha if he says, I'm not going to support you at all. So that's what we give her, keneged the malacha, that's what it means. Not that he's refusing to do malacha for her. He doesn't have to do malacha for her, but he does have to support her, and he's refusing that which she gets in exchange for her malacha. That's what it means. That's how Rashi understands, at least. Tosfos understands, no. That any zanveni mefarnes means I refuse to work in order to support you. That's the malacha that a man has to do for his wife, is that he has to go to, not malacha like the woman has to do, where it's direct malacha, where she's actually doing, you know, servicing her husband directly. But the man's malacha that he has to do is not to service his wife, but it's to get a job so that he could work, so that he could support his wife. That's his obligation. Tosfos points out over here, mikan mochiach Rabbeinu Eliyahu shechayiv adam lahaskir atzmo lelamit tinokos o lasos malacha acheres. Tosfos says the guy says he's not qualified to do anything, he's been learning in the kollel all these years, so go become a rebbe, go be a tutor, go do something. You have to be able to support your wife. That's what he agreed to. Otherwise, what does that have to do with the marid mimlacha if he says, but then he quotes Rashi's pshat, and then he says, but another raya to Rabbeinu Eliyahu is that the guy has to get himself a job doing anything at all in order to be able to support his wife. He says,
See, it says in the Ksuba that he's committing on the Eflach Vozin. So he's committing to doing all these things. Maybe Eflach just means that if he's a landowner, it's his responsibility to take care of that land and work that land and bring the food home. But maybe it doesn't mean that he has to be maskir himself. So you don't have a raya necessarily from the Lashon for Rabbeinu Eliyahu, but Rabbeinu Eliyahu still holds that still that's his responsibility to make sure that he gets some sort of job in order to be able to support his wife. So says the Gemara Vayter, Vamarav, Homer Nizan Ven Mifarnes, Yotzi Vitin Ksuba. But didn't we say that if a man says that he refuses to support his wife, he divorces her and has to pay the Ksuba? So it sounds like there's no financial penalty that it's 3 dinar a week. Just divorce her and pay the Ksuba right away. So answer the Gemara, Vlavlam Luchebebai. No, it still takes some time. Maybe he's going to change his mind. So in the time that we're trying to convince him to get him to change his mind and to stay married to her and to support her, so during that time, each week that goes by, we penalize him 3 dinarim. Any of these types of women can be a moredes, theoretically. So Bishlam Madiamrim, read the parentheses. Bishlam Madiamrim Malacha Shapir. If you say Malacha, I understand very well. Almandam Tashmish Nida Bas Tashmish, but if you say that it's based on Tashmish, is Nida Bas Tashmish? Is she able to have Tashmish? Or Malacha Inu Dom Mishal Paspasal Misha Inlo. That you can't compare someone who's Yeshal Paspasal to someone who's Inlo Paspasalo. Meaning Nida can't have Tashmish right now, but there's a difference between saying that she's not having Tashmish right now and saying that she's never going to have Tashmish. That's a very big difference. Ikeda Amri, others say Bishlam Lamand. Tosus also points out on the top. He says, if you say it's Mimalacha, so what's the Afilu by Anida? Why is it Afilu Anida is a Maredas if she refuses to do Malacha? Why would Anida be subject to any less Malacha than anybody else? So Tosus says the Chiddush that Anida is a Cholak Tzas. That Anida has a din of a chola b'miktsas. Poskim discuss ramifications of that. Does that mean she's allowed to eat fleshiks during the 9 days? Because the chola is allowed to eat fleshiks during the 9 days. Does that mean she doesn't have to fast the minor fast days when a woman's Anida? Because chola doesn't have to fast the minor fast days. Poskim discuss all of these issues. So vaytu l'gemar yikada amri. Others say bishlam l'man yamri tashmish haynu diktani chola. If you say that the nedar was from tashmish, so that's why it says chola l'man yamri malacha chola bas malachi. But if it's about malacha, can a chola do malacha? Everyone would agree that if she refuses Tashmish, that that's considered a Moredes. Ki pligi mimalacha, the whole machlokas is about Malacha. Mar sabri mimalacha lo avi Moredes, mar sabri mimalacha nami avi Moredes. So it's a machlokas whether a woman who refuses to do Malacha is considered a Moredes or not. But everyone agrees that a woman who refuses Tashmish is considered to be a Moredes. Kufa, Hamaredis al Bala Poskalam Biksubasa, Shiva Dinarim Bishabis, Rabbi Domer Shiva Trapikin. We had the Machlokas in our Mishnah. How much do we dock her from her Ksuba for being Moredis? Is it 7 dinar or is it 7 trapik for each week? Rabbeinu Chazu v'Nimnu Shimachrizin Alei Arba Shabbos Zuachrazu. Rabbeinu got together and they voted that they make her lose her entire ksuba after 4 weeks of Achraza. They would go and announce that she's being Moredis al Baila, try to shame her into stopping to be Moredis, and then ultimately she'd lose everything. V'Shalchon LaBeisdin, and Beisdin would send her a message. Have a Yodash Afilu Ksubasayich Me'amana Hivsadita. And they would send her a message, no matter what your ksuba is worth, it could be worth me'amana, you're going to lose everything. You lose the entire ksuba. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're an arusa, a nesua, a nida, a chola, shomeres yavim, you're going to lose everything. What is it? Nida bas tashmish? That she's going to lose everything because she's moredes, she refused to have tashmish. She can't have tashmish anyway when she's a nida. So again, like we said, that's why some took out the girsa before, because we had that whole conversation over here now, that you can't compare someone who's yesh lepas pesalo to someone who's ein lepas pesalo. Poskim discuss if a woman is a meredes and she says that she's not going to go to the mikvah, so is a husband allowed to have yichud with her? Now Gemara doesn't discuss that. It doesn't discuss the issue of yichud. It just discusses whether she loses the ksuba. Why is it that husband is allowed to have yichud with ishto nida in the first place? So the reason normally, even though nida is one of the arayos in the chari, you're not allowed to have yichud with the arayos except for with your mother. You're not allowed to have yichud with any of the arayos. So why is he allowed to have yichud with Anida? So Gemara explains that Suga Bashoshanim, that since he yesh lepas pesal, the Gemara says in the Sanhedrin, since he's yesh lepas pesal, that one day she's going to be tahora, and he had been with her previously, so that's why he's allowed to have yichud. So you need both of those things to be there. The fact that she once was mutaras to him, and that she will be again mutaras to him. But what if she says, I'm never ever going to go to the mikveh again? So she's not going to be mutaras to him. You have this sometimes when a couple is getting divorced, where they're still together and he can't leave the house because then it's abandonment and he's got all sorts of legal issues if he leaves the house, but they're getting divorced and there's no way the marriage is not going to be salvaged, but they're still living in the same house and she's not going to the mikveh. So are they even allowed to have yichud together? So that's a shaila the poskim discuss. This gemara may be a maramakum because the gemara does not talk about an issur yichud. When we make this announcement to shame her, it is only in the batik nasiyos and batim midrashos, not in the town square. It's mezuk that way because it says four shabbosos. The batik nasiyos and batim midrashos on Shabbos are packed because people aren't working, so everyone comes on Shabbos to the batik nasiyos and batim midrashos. So that's why we said dafka shabbosos. We send her the message from Beis Din that she's going to lose everything twice. Once before we make the announcement and once after the announcement. That we paskin like Rabbi Senu. Amar Rava, hi burcha. Rava says, no, that's ridiculous. We don't paskin like that. Amar le Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my burcha say, ana amrisa ne'alei, m'shmei digav Rava amrisa ne'alei. Why do you say that that's inaccurate? I'm the one that said it over in the name of Adam Gadol, that's okay. So that's the psak. So why do you reject it? Uman Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, I said in the name of Rav Yosef Rav Chanina. V'iu keman savar, and who does he hold like? Ki adi itmar Rava, Amar Rav Sheshes, halach nimlach. He holds that the halacha is that we are nimlachin ba, that we withhold her get and we ask her first to go back and to change her mind, and during that time we dock the shiva dinarin for each week. So it's not just an all or nothing, that we actually do go through what our Mishnah says. Rav Huna bar Yudam Rav Sheshes halacha ein nimlachin ba, that we don't do that. We just dock the whole thing all at once. Hechi dami moredes. What's an example of moredes? Amra memer da amra biina lei umitzaarna lei. Where the woman says that I do want to stay married to him, I just want to make his life miserable. That's a meredes. Avlamar ma is alai lo kafinila. But if she says, I'm just disgusted by him, I want no part of him, I don't want to be married to him at all, so then we don't force her to stay with him, then we have him give her a get, because the marriage is not going to last. But she doesn't get a ksuba. Rashi doesn't understand that she can say mosle, but she'll lose a ksuba. Marzucha says we would force her. And one time Marzucha forced her to stay in the marriage, and must have been okay, because Rabbi Chanina Misura emerged from that union. So apparently they were able to have such a great Tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham emerge from such a marriage. Must not be such a bad idea to keep them married to each other. Says Gemara Velohi, it's not a good raya. Hasam siyata d'shmayu hava. You can't always predict how someone is gonna, you know, why someone's kid turns out well and someone else's kid doesn't turn out well. The fact that this kid turned out to be who he turned out was a siyata d'shmayu. It wasn't because it was necessarily the right thing to do. And this discussion of ma'asalai, that when a woman says ma'asalai, she can get out of a marriage, Tosas discusses what the parameters of that are. Rashi says that we let her get a ksuba, receive a get and go below ksuba. We force the husband to be motzi her. But Rabbeinu Tam rejects it. He says, Rabbeinu Tam says, why would we allow that? We should always be choshesh. Maybe she found somebody else and she's interested in marrying someone else. So she just came with a taina of ma'usalai. And Tos discusses, maybe we're not choshesh for that because she's losing her ksuba. You'd say, if she wouldn't lose her ksuba, but to risk losing her ksuba, maybe wouldn't be a real concern. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start with the discussion of whether she loses the blaos of her nidunya as well when she's moredas. Oh, yeah.